This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock of the Money podcast, episode 165. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all that hard-earned money. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. Hey, I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach. Along with Amanda, she's the corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Did you see on the news this week something has not happened in many years regarding real estate?
No. What?
The mortgage rates went over 5%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yay. Yay. Oh, well. If you've already bought, congratulations. That's all I can say.
Hey, but what it also means is credit card interest rates are going up, too. So
all rates are going up. Yeah. 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 Welcome. And by the way, I don't normally get out very often. On the way back from the doctor the other day, I said, you know what? They made me not eat all day. I'm starving. I'm going to go to Jersey Mike's and get me a sub.
Oh, I love Jersey Mike's.
That's my favorite. Hands down. Personal opinion. Subway's gone way downhill. I know they're doing refresh. I don't know. I haven't checked it out. But Jersey Mike's is my favorite. I like how they slice it right in front of you, the whole thing. Anyway, yeah. I got a number 13 Mike's Way. My favorite. Mm-hmm. Italian. I just got a regular size. I just ordered it because it's the same one I get every time. And I'm the only one there. And I'm like, and then I look up the price. I'm like, $10?
Yeah.
Like, when did that become $10 for? It's not even a full sub. It's just those small. I'm like, oh my. I didn't realize how much everything's going up.
I go there together. I mean, you can count on it being $25 to $30 for basically two sandwiches.
Well, someone in my chat room on Facebook Gaming during one of my live streams said they went to Five Guys. They say it was $50 for two people.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is insane. Anyway. Hey, we got four questions. And yeah, can I preface this before we move forward? I need to remind people.
You mean preface?
Preface? How do I say that? Preface?
I think you said preference.
Look, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning.
Okay. I just want our listeners to know that we know what words mean.
Yeah, my brain. Hey, I'm almost 60, okay? I'm old. See, I can use these excuses. That's my crutch now. When people say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm old. It's great. It's a great crutch. You'll never get to use it. I just want to let people know when you ask us questions, we are not going to validate you getting debt, like getting a loan. Like lately, I've had a couple questions I didn't include in this episode. People want to take out like home equity line, especially right now when it's over 5%. And usually, isn't usually equity lines higher than the mortgage rate?
Yeah, typically. I think so.
To do that to buy a car. I'm like, we're not going to validate that kind of stuff. It's just not going to happen. You do you, but we wouldn't.
Yeah, why would you want to put your car and your home at risk if you default?
Yeah, yeah. It just the point is, I'm getting a lot of questions. They're trying to, they want me to validate them getting debt, and I will not do that.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen unless it's a true emergency. But to buy a car, because you just retired, you're going to retire in 6 months and you will get a home equity line to buy a car so you can travel. I'm not going to do that. No, keep working, save the money, and buy the car with cash.
The thing is people weren't taking their, the proper steps earlier in their lives. And then they get to a certain point and think, oh, wait, I'm too close to retirement age, what I think is retirement age. And I just realized I don't have the funds available to live like I had anticipated living when I'm retired. And they're trying to take all these shortcuts real late at the game.
Yeah. And there's no way to accelerate it, guys, either. You can't just try and do NFTs and Bitcoin. Yeah.
I'm not against that stuff.
Yeah. People are going for the quick money. And that 99.9% of time, some people get lucky. And those are the only ones you hear about. It's kind of like going to Vegas, right? You only hear about the winners. You never hear about people losing. They didn't build those buildings because they want to give you something. So it's the same thing, guys. So it's, what is it? Not timing the market, but time in the market.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a t-shirt. Anyway, we got four questions. Can you read the first one?
Yeah. So just curious, if I understand properly, say mortgage rates get to 12% again, like they did in the early 80s, and real estate is still high. Is it still better to mortgage a house than rent? And two, would it make more sense to pay the mortgage off before putting 15% in retirement that is making under 12% most years? All right, so let's tackle the first question. First of all, this question makes a giant assumption that it's always better to have a mortgage rather than rent. And I'm not sure that's the case. I think we've talked a number of times in the past about how, you know, every circumstance is different. And sometimes it makes more sense to actually rent than to buy.
Right. I agree with that. You don't have to own a house.
Yeah.
That's the American dream that's been put in your brain, but it may not always be the right way to do it for you. It may be more expensive to have a house than to rent.
Yeah. And then I know people always have the argument, well, I'm paying a whole bunch of money in taxes and insurance and HOA fees, but I am building equity, and you don't build equity in rent. And that's true.
Yeah.
But how much is that equity costing you every year? Are you actually breaking even?
I can tell you
most
for
years,
a fact.
No.
I mean, I live in a really good market. I mean, you do real estate. You have to agree. I'm in a pretty damn good market. A very safe market, the Washington, D.C. area. We're very recession resistant to a point.
Yeah.
Because of the federal government. Even with that, I've had this house for 20 years, almost 20 years. I did not double it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include.
But I bet you paid at least that much in taxes, insurance.
Oh, my God. $6,500 a year in taxes.
Yeah.
I had to buy a new roof. That was $15,000. I did an air conditioning replacement. That's $12,000.
Yeah. So when you add up all the costs that go along with it, even in the amount of time, and then you say, well, yeah, sure, I bought for this much and I'm selling for this much. I made so much money. It's actually not true because you've had to invest so much each year to get to that point. And most of the time, people either barely break even or not even.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally for.
People just love to look at the purchase price and sales price and forget about all the other context that goes into that.
And just so people don't think I'm against it, because you do real estate. I'm not against real estate investing whatsoever. It's a great investment, but it's not one of the primary things before we get to that. You got to do your 401k, your IRAs, blah, blah, and then you do the real estate there. The S&P 500 still outperforms in general to real estate.
Yeah.
But real estate is safer.
It's not always better to have a mortgage than rent.
Right.
And certainly if mortgage rates get to 12% and you don't already own a home, I would certainly sit down with pen and paper and do the actual math on, well, what does that mean in terms of how much interest am I going to pay each year and over the life of a loan? Because it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And rent and everything is going up. So it doesn't matter. But yeah, the assumption is going to go to 12%. We don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
All right, so part two of the question is, would it make more sense to pay the mortgage off before putting 15% in retirement that is making under 12% most years?
Well, that's an easy answer because we still do the baby steps.
Yeah.
And that is not the order. No matter what inflation does, Amanda, we still stick with the steps. They do not change when the world changes. It's still the same order.
Right, but I mean, aren't 4, 5, and 6 done simultaneously?
They are done simultaneously.
And you've got some wiggle room on how you decide to do those simultaneously.
Totally agree. But what they said is before you put 15% in, no, you have to do 15% and pay off your mortgage.
Yeah.
So we're not going to pay off the mortgage before we do our 15%. Because once again, like I said in the beginning, guys, time in the market is what gets you to retirement. So if you're delaying putting money into retirement, you're not going to have that money at the end of the line here. So we got to get that money in there after you're debt free, except for your mortgage.
All right. Question two.
That was a nice soundbite. That whole question. There was so much information in that. Hey, go ahead and wait. Question two.
All right. Question two. Dave Ramsey recommends splitting up your 401k into four buckets evenly as 25% each. The four buckets are all low-cost index funds, large cap, mid cap, small cap, and international. Is that right? The returns are highest with large cap, then a little less with mid cap, a little less in small cap, and international is the lowest returns over a 10-year period. Is there a reason I shouldn't put all 100% into large cap index fund that is averaging return 16% return per year? The international index fund my employer offers is at 6% return.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything bad about Dave Ramsey. But I think I've said multiple times in the past, that's his advice, this four-book thing. I don't do that. I don't believe in it. And the data that I have, which I could, I mean, if we ever want to have a discussion with Dave, the S&P 500 outperforms what he says.
Yeah.
When he talks about that on the show, he's a great guy. He's very smart, intelligent, but he will go say that he has an average of 12 to 14% over time. And that is his proof that his thing works. However, that international hasn't done anything in so long. It is true that small caps can have a run, but over time, the S&P 500 has beat 80% of all other funds out there. I'm going with the odds. The same thing that Warren Buffett says, the gazillionaire. You remember that guy's name, right?
Yeah.
He recommends everybody should do that. He does that. I just do that. And because they said large cap, I do agree with that. Large cap funds actually do very well. But most of those large cap stocks, Amanda, mm-hmm. are Microsoft, Apple, Amazon. That's what's actually bringing that up, which is also in the S&P 500. S&P 500 has smaller, medium, and large companies in there. So when things are just like right now, the smaller companies, which are lagging in the COVID recovery, they're now doing better. Well, tech is, again, you must not be happy this week. Tech, again.
No, I am not happy this week.
Yeah, I'm not doing well because I believe in tech long term. Tech, again, as a time of recording this, just took another little bit of dive. But yeah. Microsoft, Apple, they're going to be around, okay? But it's doing this adjustment thing. But over time, they're going to be fine. But yeah, tech is just, but over time, it's going to be fine. But then the laggard companies step up. Like, airlines are coming back again because what Delta reported, they're having a surge of ticket purchases for the summertime. People want to get out. Hotels, Marriott is skyrocketing. All these are going up because people want to get out this summer. Inflation or not, they're getting out. People are done with this COVID thing. So those other companies now coming back, which were down over, you know, the last 2 years. Anyway, the bottom line is the S&P 500 is the top 500 companies. And over time, it has proven to beat out 70 to 80% of every other fund out there. I like those odds, Amanda. I love them. And it does contain all of those large caps. So I kind of agree with this person. I'd rather do it in that way. It's a little bit safer doing it that way than just going outright large cap.
Excuse me. Sneezing here. We have allergies.
Hey, I got pollen up the wazoo. Is it up the wazoo or out the wazoo? Something about my wazoo and that pollen is pretty bad around here. Did you have anything to add on that? I kind of got soapbox there. But
absolutely right, Craig.
Again, like we said, financial advisors don't want you to do the S&P 500 because they can't make money off of you. They can't get a percentage off of that because it's literally low to no cost. And it does outperform no matter what they say. They can't prove anything otherwise. All right, let's take a quick break and go clean out our noses.
Rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rockin' the Money with Amanda and our little sidekick, Craig. Check us out at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website rockonthemoney.com. And all of our previous episodes are on there. Hey, there's a new feature on Facebook that just came out the other day. It was working earlier last week, and then I sat down last night. I was going to, all right, I'm going to actually go use this. Now it doesn't work. But it looks really cool, Amanda. I can go into Facebook on the podcast at Rockin' the Money on Facebook, and I can pull up a podcast on my phone, and I can actually break up our podcast within there and share the each individual question.
Wow.
So I went to go do it last night. Now it's broke. I'm like, oh no. Once it starts working again, I'm going to break up each podcast and share it back out per question. It's very minimal. I just slide little things in, you know, segment it out, and then I'll post out. So I think that'd be kind of cool. I think that would be a great addition. It's actually referencing the main podcast, but it actually creates like five podcasts out of one. Well, then that'd be kind of cool if it ever works. Question number three, you want to read this one?
Yeah, absolutely I do. All right, question three. How do you guys contribute to your Roth IRA? This is my first year contributing. My initial plan was to just dollar cost average every month until it was maxed out annually. But I've seen a lot of people just throwing the max contribution into the account ASAP for that year. Any thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is just get it in there. I mean, yeah. There are different ways to do it. You can sit there and do it like quarterly, monthly, whatever you want to do, or just fund it. I mean, a lot of people were just funding it last week because they had to do their taxes by Monday.
Right.
That's a lot of times when people actually do it. But a Roth IRA doesn't do anything to your taxes. But yeah. I just say, as soon as you got it, just get it done. Just get it in there. Don't try to time the market.
The important thing is that you do it. So however you want to do it works.
Yeah.
I tend to do it in a large lump most years, but sometimes I just do the $500 a month, you know, and I usually try to have it funded in the first quarter of every year.
I don't want to jump the gun on you. I don't think you can do it this year.
No, I'm doing a backdoor.
Okay.
Thanks for putting me out there, Craig.
Hey, well, I'm gonna put out there. I'm not eligible anymore either.
So. It's not because of this podcast. I'll tell you that.
No, it's not this podcast. They call it winning, Amanda, but I don't think it's. I don't feel winning. But hey, hello, SEP. I'm brand new to the SEP world. Finally.
There you go.
So I've learned a lot about SEP. All right. Question. Did we answer this?
I think we did. The point is just fund it. And however you get there.
The number one reason people don't succeed in the IRAs, they're not funding it. It's not what time they put it in there. And then remember, once you fund it, you need to put it into something.
Yeah.
It doesn't don't do anything it by sit sitting
in the cash
there.
Account. Right. So yes, that's a great point, Craig. There's two steps. First, you put money into your IRA account. And second, you have to allocate that money to actual investments within the account. Otherwise, it's just sitting there barely making anything in interest.
There you go. And as a minimum, just put it into a free, typically free S&P 500 ETF. And typically many of them free, especially if you do it through Schwab or Vanguard or Fidelity.
Yeah.
They have free versions of that. So just put it in there. You know, don't try and get all fancy with these crypto funds. And just please, at least 80% of it needs to be in your S&P 500, especially during these times. I can't think of a better place to be right now than to be in S&P 500. They're still predicting, Amanda, by the way, just real quick before we get to question four. They're predicting, even with all this going on, we got wars going on. We have inflation. Yeah. They're still saying the S&P 500 will go up 5 to 6% additionally the rest of this year. It's already climbed this year. So, again, you have the 500 best companies of America. I can't think of a better place to be than the 500 winners. And I just want to point that out, guys. The world's not coming to it. Well, I just said the world's not coming in. It might be. But
it might be.
It might be. With the news I heard last night, yeah, it might be. But for now, because we can't do anything with that, I can fund my IRA and do it correctly. All right, question number four.
Yeah, so this one says, I need some advice. I've spent $7,781 in the past 7 months in car repairs. You can tell they're in pain because they put the precise amount.
Yes.
They've tallied up every receipt.
Exactly.
Most people would have been spent like, I've spent $8,000 every
year.
Right.
They were, $781. Oh my God.
So this included a transmission, lower control arm, axle, throttle body, etc. I have a 2013 Jeep Compass. I now know this isn't the best car.
Okay. I'm glad they said something because if anybody owns a Jeep out there, I was going to keep my mouth quiet, but they now know what Consumer Reports says about Jeeps. And literally, they found out. And that thing's not even 10 years old yet. That's crazy. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it has 180,000 miles on it, which...
That's not bad. That's not high.
What? So what's the average every year? Like 15,000?
Yeah, it's almost 10 years old.
Let's say nine.
Yeah. It's, you know.
So it's about 20,000 miles a year. Yeah. It's a little more than usual, but.
Yeah, around my area, that's typically normal for commuting and stuff, yeah.
Oh, well, here we go. It says I drive 60 miles every day to work, so I to work. So I wonder if that's 120 miles round trip. That's
yeah, that's around what it is around here for a lot of people.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So I need something reliable. I'm thinking of selling my Jeep and grabbing a 2011 or 2012 Corolla, Camry, Civic, or Accord, as I've heard these were the best cars.
It's like they listened to me. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I said.
My question is, should I keep the Jeep due to the amount I've already spent on it, or trade it in and get a different car with around 100,000 miles on it for around $10,000? I can get about $5,000 for the Jeep. All right, so we have some missing information here. So yeah. let's talk through how if we make certain assumptions, our answers might vary, right? So I like the fact that they're looking for something reliable and that they're, you know, looking to go for something with lower miles, even if it is an older car, you know, that I'm okay with. The fact that they would get about $5,000 for the Jeep, that might be an assumption. Do you mean $5,000 on a trade-in or $5,000 selling to a private party? Because remember, those amounts will vary. We just this week, I was helping my son upgrade his car because he was in a very similar situation. where he's just put so much money into repairs and, you know, there's still a lot of things that would need to be repaired. And it's just, you know, but here's the thing. You can't have this mindset of, well, I'm already in so deep, I might as well just keep digging, right?
Right.
It's
right.
A sunk cost that you've already spent that money. It's already gone. That's not going to change whether or not you have to keep spending money, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the biggest thing you can do, not just repairs, but maintenance on cars, right? That's our biggest cost savings. Even though it costs you money up front, it's going to save you down the road. So, back to the $5,000 for the Jeep. We ran a Kelly. So here's what's funny. We were looking at Carvana online, and it seemed like a really great thing to do. I don't know if you've heard of Carvana.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's all
car vending machines. I think they're cool.
They have vending machines in some big cities, but they also just do to-your-door delivery. And their pricing seems very fair. They don't have any dealership costs. They'll buy your car or let you trade in your car. But when we did all the math, even without doing dealer fees and, you know, the amount that they'd get for trading, it ended up being slightly more. But the reviews are actually really good for Carvana. So I'm not trying to dissuade anyone from using them because I would certainly use them if the math worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we ended up going to a local dealership. Well, not so local for him. It was like a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, my God.
But they were very fair in pricing. And Carvana was only offering him like $400 for his car for a trade. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a bicycle goes for $400.
Exactly.
And it's running, you know, there's nothing wrong. It still works point A to point B. It's not like the engine's not working. And so he got there and I said, well, have you done a Blue Book evaluation? He's like, no, not recently. I'm like, well, that's step one, right? So it's so easy. You just go online to kellybluebook.com and you can get a quick assessment on the value of your car. Now you have to be honest about the condition it's in. Don't put in and expect that you're going to get a trade-in value for a car in excellent condition if it's not in excellent condition. So,
yeah. So
we went with fair condition because, you know, it's otherwise in good shape, but there are a couple of things that need to be repaired, and found out that a fair trade-in would be $1,700 to $2,700.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, well, okay. So the least you should be accepting is $1,700, right? Because that's on the low end.
Right.
Well, the dealership actually offered him $2,500. They said, hey, fair value would be $2,700. We'll give you $2,500. And I thought, you know what? That's actually a very upfront fair pricing, right? So all these things you hear about dealerships and, you know, sneaky salesmen, I think they're getting a bad rap. Because the pricing was very fair on the car compared to everything else we looked at. The features were great. Mileage was low. We got a great price on it. And, you know, a fair trade-in value, which is so, it feels like that's really unusual because I've had bad experiences with trade-ins.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah.
All right. All that to say, when you say $5,000 for the Jeep, have you done the Blue Book analysis? And is that a fair price for the Jeep for a trade-in or selling it to a private seller? Because of course, if you sell it privately, you're always going to get more than as a trade-in. It's
right.
but that's the cost of inconvenience, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's step one, making sure you're getting the right amount for what you currently have. And then that would cover about half of your upgrade, but where are you coming up with the money for the other $5,000? That's the big question. Do you have $5,000 set aside for, you know, in your savings to cover it? Are you planning to take a loan on it? You know, what's your plan there? And Craig, I'll let you get on your soapbox about car loans.
Oh, no. We're not going to validate anybody. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, we're not going to validate you wanting to get a loan. But if you really need this, I mean, need as opposed to want, you have a vehicle. So can you hold on for a little bit longer? I did go on to CarMax real quick while you're talking. I'm trying to figure out how they're getting a Civic or Accord or Camry for $10,000.
Yeah, I was
because
wondering the same
thing. $15,000.
Yeah.
Is the average nationwide on CarMax for a 2011
even for that year, right?
Civic. For a 2011 Civic.
Yeah.
And because they are very reliable, people want these things. The exact list that she just said is the reliable list. And those are going to cost more because they will last. If you change the fluids and stuff, it'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's got 100,000 miles on it, these are anticipated to last to 250, 300,000
easily.
Miles.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of life left, even if it's 10 years old, you know, they could easily last another 10 years.
I'm looking at 2011 Civic LX for 16,000 has only 80,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
LX is a mid-grade one. It does not have the sunroof and all that fancy stuff, but you'll be fine. I'm not sure where they're getting this $10,000 Accord at. That's not going to happen.
I mean, maybe if they've got something lined up, I mean, good for you.
But I'm just concerned it's not inspected.
That might influence my decision. Like if you are finding a deal like that, snag it up, even if you have to take a short-term loan.
Yeah. And if it has a few repairs, it might be worth it. But I'm concerned that that's not an inspected vehicle for $5,000 less.
Well,
I'm
the other
online.
Thing is that you have to be careful of is these branded titles. So is it something that was taken as a total loss because of an accident or flooding or some other, you know, major issue with the car that they had to then do basically a branded title on it. So it's not worth as much. So here's the rule of thumb is if the deal seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah. What I do is I take someone's price like that and I just go to Carvana, CarMax. I know these are higher prices, but not 5,000 higher than that. Just seems a lot. Or go
honestly,
Kelly Blue Book.
The Carvana prices were actually cheaper than most places.
Wow,
and
that's
they
crazy.
Had free delivery if you picked a car from like within, you know, 500 miles of your location.
Oh wow. That's
free delivery. No dealership fees, none of that. So I did notice that their financing rates were crazy.
That's probably where they make their money at.
Yeah.
I mean, they get you in the door.
But you can bring your own financing. So if you have a credit union or whatever, you can always do that. Some people just love convenience, right? So you pay for convenience.
There you go. I'm gonna search on Carvana right now. Just so we have a comparison.
Yeah,
Civic.
Let's do it.
I'm just going to do Civic. Because the Accord would cost more and the Camry would cost more.
Yeah, because they're a higher.
Right.
They're an upgraded model. Yeah.
So if you go on to Carvana, they have... Look at this one right here. 50,000 miles, 2011 Civic, $15,000. Yeah. So they are exactly
well, that's low
the
miles
same.
For that year.
Yeah. And that has lower miles. And there's another one for 17,000, which is, man, that's like the going price for a stripped down brand new one.
I know.
Wow.
Well, not anymore, Craig.
That's an EXL. Okay. EXL, that's leather and that's top line that has everything with leather. So that's what that is. So, yeah. So. Yeah. That's 10,000
less. And that's the thing,
less.
Too, is you got to watch for the features because that's what impacts prices.
Yeah, you don't need all this fancy stuff. I mean, you want to be comfortable if you sit in traffic. You want a nice radio, blah, blah, air conditioning. But all these fancy things.
You mean like heated seats and heated steering wheels? That was actually.
Well, you live in Tampa. I don't think that's very useful.
It gets cold in the 60s here, Craig.
Cold in the 60s. Oh, my God. You're so needy.
Yeah.
But anyway, though, I guess the bottom line is you can keep that Jeep, but historically, based on consumer reports, I already know that Jeeps, especially around that time period, do not do well, as you already admitted. And I'm not putting down Jeep, guys. I'm going by what data, and that has been a known thing. And basically, all the things that they had to replace, including transmission, which is a big issue on Jeeps, mm-hmm. they've discovered. It could happen again. There could be more. Or it could. We don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. It could do fine now for the next 100,000, But your idea of switching to a
maybe you're past all the issues.
You might be because you replaced everything. I don't know. I mean, it might be fine. I think you should keep that vehicle a little bit longer, save up and build up your cash to move on to another car in the future when prices come back down, because things are still
alive.
That's
right. I think that the used car prices will come down in the next year once the supply chain issues even out and there's not such a demand for used cars. I think they're going to come down.
So maybe they should keep this for a little bit longer.
I mean, they've already come down since a year ago.
Well, they already, they're starting. Even fuel prices are coming down. Well, I'm paying $3.59 right now for fuel. So I know you're paying higher in Florida. I already heard. My chat room tells me everything.
I mean, probably. I'll be honest. I hardly look because I only fill up like once every 5 weeks.
Well, I had to go to the doctor. So for my
cancer. But I do notice if it cost me more than $30. Yeah.
You know what's weird is it was $3.59 in Maryland. I went into Virginia where the doctor was. It was $4.19. I'm like, wait a minute. I literally just went over a river. Yeah. It went right to another state.
Taxes, man. Taxes.
Jeez, man. Northern Virginia is out of control. Anyway, this was a great episode. There was a lot of great information in this one, Amanda. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you can tell people are changing their mindset with the new economy we're going into. And we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. I think everyone agrees this Russia thing is really impacting the whole entire world. And we just got to figure it out. You can either whine about it or you can strategize and be careful. But remember, the baby steps don't change no matter what. Everything stays the same. Cost of living, Amanda, and people's budgets have got to be crazy. Maybe we should talk about that sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Because, you really want to stick on the, you want to keep that money going to retirement just because we have a 1 or 2 or 3 year high inflation. You can't stop putting money in there because what happens 20 years from now, what you do now could affect what happens 20 years from now. You got to still work on your retirement. You got to cut back on all the other stuff. You know, just got to really watch how you spend. All right. Let's go on to the rest of the week. I hope everybody is safe. And here we go into spring and summer. Yay. You going on vacation this year?
Yes, in a couple weeks.
Well, we'll talk about it in the next episode. You're listening to Rockin' Money.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.